2 weeks ago, I started with a little verse over in Ezra, and I told you at that time that I wasn't finished. So I'd like to return to Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." There's three things here, and actually there's four. When we started, we realized that the fourth one was what he had done before he sought and do and teach. He had prepared his heart. So 2 Sundays ago, we spoke about what it means to prepare our hearts to serve the Lord. So we won't go back over that. I hope you can remember some of the points that the Word of God made at that time. But he said, it says he prepared earlier in the scripture, in the sixth verse, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe." So we want to be a ready scribe. You know what a scribe is? It's somebody who listens and then they take heed and they write it down. And Ezra was a scribe. He wrote down the law of the Lord. How do we do that now? You can write it down. Some people like to take little notes, and I like to write right in my Bible so that if I've remembered something, it is not going to fall out. It's going to be right there. But really, I think what a ready scribe is to us is we want the Lord to write his law in our hearts. That's what his real covenant is with us today. It says, "In those days, this will be the covenant I will make with them, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." So that's the covenant that he makes with us. And we want to be a ready scribe, and we want to record and to remember the things that the Lord tells us and teaches us. Those whispers of peace like we spoke of, we don't want to forget them. We want to write them down. Like my dad used to say, put that down in your little black book. He was a ready scribe, and he prepared his heart to seek. And I'd like to speak to that this morning, what it means to seek the Lord. We have precious promises about seeking the Lord. This morning, it shouldn't be a hard task, and it shouldn't be a task that you think there will be no reward. Because the first promise that comes to my mind is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. For it says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of whom? Those who diligently seek him. What does that imply? It means if we believe God is, but we don't seek him, we don't believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him. We just don't believe it. If we don't believe it enough to seek him, then we really, God reads this in our hearts, they don't believe me that I'll reward them. They never seek me. They never feel after me. But God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if I believe that, I will diligently seek him, persistently. Never give up, even if you don't get it today, the answer or the whisper of peace or whatever it is that you're seeking. If you don't get it today, don't give up. You diligently seek the Lord year after year after year. And I want to encourage you children, it is not too young to start seeking God. You can start going to a little place in the woods or in your room, or wherever, go climb a tree. And don't just sit there and think of things yourself, but lift your heart to God. It can just be 5 minutes. And you just say, God, I've been taught about you, but I wish you would help me to know you. Help me to see who you are. God, help me to know that you love me. Or if you have a burden, Lord, I'm upset with so-and-so. Just talk to God, seek God. You're not too young to start seeking God. And you may not have some kind of a great big experience when you're little like that, but just the Lord can whisper. He can whisper to you. Just little things he can help you with your problems and he can make things better for you, if, even in your childhood. I know because I did it. I did it. I had brother and sister troubles like brothers and sisters do. And I'd just go to Jesus about it, and Jesus would comfort my heart. My sister, my brother, the Lord would just comfort me. So you can do that. Thank the Lord for these promises. Another promise is James chapter 4. Let's look at that one. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and what? He will draw nigh to you. He's promised. It's a promise. If you begin to seek after God, that means you're drawing near to God. If you'll draw near to God. One time in the Old Testament, there was a big bad problem, and I don't remember what it was, but they came to the prophet, and the prophet said, "Let us draw near unto God." This problem's too great for us to hash out. We've got to go to the source. And so that's what God, he wants us to say to him, "Lord, I can't do it. I don't know what to do. Please help me. Will you show me? Will you help me? Lord, I'm drawn near to you because I need you." Oh, the Lord loves to hear us say, "I need you, God." He does. He doesn't get on to us. He said there also in James, in the first chapter, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom," 1 and 5, "let him ask of God." And what does it say about God? How he thinks about it? "Oh, you ignorant thing." No, he doesn't. It says, "Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally," generously, copiously. He pours it out. He gives to all men liberally, and he doesn't upbraid. He upbraideth not. He doesn't chide us for not knowing or for needing help. He says, "I'm going to give you what you need. What do you need? Ask of me. I will give it to you." So that's why we want to seek the Lord. He doesn't upbraid us. He gives liberally, and it says it shall be given him. What's another promise? Jesus in John chapter 6. What did he say about the person who is going to come to the Father? John chapter 6. Wait a minute. I may be wrong on that. Yes, 6 and verse 37, precious promise here. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." You can lean on that promise wherever you are, if you're not even saved. If you hear that word and you realize this is for me, then God's given it to you, and you can press close to God and say, "Lord, you said, those who come to the Father, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Another precious promise, Isaiah chapter 55. This one also, though, it's conditional. Let's read in that. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." So this is conditional. It means that there may be times that are easier for you and I to find the Lord than others. There may be times that because the Lord has tried so long to get our attention and we haven't heeded to him, we've rejected him, that the scripture says he hides himself. It's like, where is the Lord? He hides himself, can't find him. But he says, "You seek him while he may be found." While the Lord's talking to you, that's the time to surrender. When you feel that heart beating hard, you ever feel that? In altar service, whenever the invitation's being given, did you ever feel your heart beat hard and you feel like, "I know God's talking to me. I know God's talking to me." That's a time to say yes to the Lord and respond. That's a time when he may be found. There's other times that maybe in your private life, no one else around, when the Lord speaks to you and says, I love you. I want you to be my child. That's a time when he may be found. Other times in life, he's close. He's close in times of sorrow. Did you know that? Whenever your heart is broken and wounded and bleeding, the Savior is right there. You may feel like he's way far away, but the Savior is right there. He's there in times of grief and pain. You can reach out, and that's another one I want to go to. Let's finish this one. Let the wicked forsake his way. This is conditional. We seek him. We can't say, okay, Lord, I'm seeking you, but I want to stay doing what I've always done. He's saying, if the Lord's pointing out something in your life, then he said, you forsake it. Forsake that wicked way. And the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy. See the promise again? He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What's the word that we read in James about how he gives wisdom? He gives how? Liberally. And what is it? How does he pardon in this verse? Abundantly. That's God's way. God is not a chintzy giver. He's a gracious, abundant giver. Now, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 and 12 and 13. We know this is a very familiar scripture. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me. When? When will the Lord be found? When ye shall seek for me with all your heart. So here's a condition too. The other verse was conditional in that we need to seek him when he's drawing near to us and drawing us. And inviting us. When he's close, we need to seek him, and we need to forsake our own way. This one is, we need to seek with all of our heart. Now, even down into a time when we've living for the Lord, and we know him and we love him, the enemy can get us right here to just pray rhetorically and not really mean it. You ever have that temptation or that tendency in your life? You think, wait a minute, I've been praying for 5 minutes and I really don't even know what I just said. It was just form. It was just routine. So if we want, in our private place of prayer each day, if you want to really find the Lord, which is the whole point of prayer. The point of prayer is, it's like the children's verses last Sunday and this Sunday. Jesus said, don't think that you'll be heard for your much speaking. We don't do the rosary to find the Lord. You know what I'm saying? We don't chant words that have no real meaning to us. Now, some people, that's all they know. But Jesus was pointing to a better thing than a chant of words. Did you know that the heathen gods, back in the gods of the mythology and all that, did you know they had prayers and hymns and songs in their worship? But they were full of chants that didn't mean anything. They were full of words to gods who couldn't help them. They found there's all kinds of hymns back in the, even in when God's children would go away from the true God and they went into these heathen worships, they would learn songs of those heathen worships. But they weren't like the songs of Jehovah. They weren't like this one, like, we have a strong city. The Lord, salvation will the Lord appoint for walls and bulwarks. That was one of the Israelites' songs. Or, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. In that day you shall say, praise the Lord. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Those were all praises and prayers of God's people. But the heathen had, they had awful words to their songs. I'm so glad that we know, we can know the Lord. We can know his thoughts toward us, thoughts of peace. He answers us. He whispers to us. Their gods couldn't do that. But our God is the true God, and he will, you can find him. He has ears and he hears. He has a mouth and he speaks. He can be found. Okay, that's, let me look at this one now. Acts chapter 17, this is what Paul preached to the people in Athens up on Mars Hill. He saw them worshiping these strange gods. And they thought, well, there may be one that we missed. So they built an altar and said, to the unknown God. And Paul took advantage of that. And he came and he said, I know exactly who you've missed. Let me tell you about him. And so he began to tell about the true God. And he said, this is God that made the world and everything therein. Chapter 17 of Acts and verse 24. Him whom ye ignorantly worship, I declare unto you, God that made the world and all things therein. He's Lord of heaven and earth. And then it goes on and it says in verse 27 that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. You know, the Lord is just within your reach. You just reach out for him. You just extend yourself as far as you can. Lord, I'm just seeking you with my whole heart. It says you can reach out and you can find him. You can find the Lord this morning. It's not impossible to find the Lord. You can seek him and he can be found of you. These are precious promises. Now, what's another one? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32 and 33. He's telling them about prayer, and he's telling them not to worry and not to just seek, not to use your time and your whole life seeking after the things of this world. And he says here in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek after. The Gentiles, he was talking about the heathen people who didn't know the true God. He said they spend their whole lives seeking after what I'm going to eat and what I'm going to drink and what I'm going to wear. That's a pretty vain life. But he said that the Gentiles seek after all that, but you know about the true God. You don't need to be seeking like that. And he said, but seek ye what?
First.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is a promise. This will come true if you do this. I guarantee it. And there are lots of saints who will say, yes, that's happened. That happened to me. That happened to me. Excuse me. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Well, I think I have finished that. So seek him while he may be found. Seek him first. Seek him with all your heart. And I have one more here in Hosea. Chapter 10 and verse 12. I love this one. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek. You can find the Lord. He will come and he will rain righteousness. Remember our other verses. He will abundantly pardon. He will liberally give. This says rain righteousness on you. You don't have to. We don't have to this morning be contented with just just eking out a spiritual existence with kind of a touch, a glimpse now and then of the Lord. He can rain righteousness on us. What is the old song, Showers of Blessing? He said, the song says, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. We want the Lord to rain showers of righteousness and blessing upon us. Now, one other thing I'd like to mentioned back where we started in Ezra, where it said that he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Now, in the book of Malachi, that prophet wrote with a burden for the priests of the day. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, and he rebuked them in the book of Malachi, last book of the Bible. And one thing that he said in chapter 2 in verse 6, he said the law of truth was in his mouth. The priests were to have the law right there. They were to write the law. They were to memorize it. They were to teach the law. That's what their job was. That's what they were supposed to do. It says, iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. You know who the real priests are now? They're Christians. That's who we are to be, like those priests. We are to have God's law in our hearts, written on our hearts. We are to teach and to help others and turn others from iniquity. And it says, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge. This is verse 7, Malachi 2 and 7. The priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Now I have another thought, and I want to combine those two. When the Israelites were, any of the things that they did, one of the things that God told them was, you keep this and you do this because when your children come and ask you, you'll be able to say, here's why we do this. So let's combine that thought with that the priest should keep knowledge so that people can seek the law at his mouth. Ezra, it says, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. When we're young and when we're children, we have an opportunity. We can go to God and say, Lord, teach me about this. But God also has given you and I instructors. If you have Christian parents, they're right there in your home. And God told the parents to explain the laws of God to their children. So when you're a child and you don't know something, don't be embarrassed to go to your parent and say, talk to me about this. Why do we kneel down to pray? Or why do we sing at church? Or just sometimes children don't even understand just basic things. I remember having questions about something that the preacher said. When you get home and you don't understand what the preacher said, go to your mom and dad. Say, what does this mean? What does this scripture mean? That's one way we can seek the Lord, is we can seek after those who have his law written in them. Or you might want to find a trusted adult. If you don't have a parent, you might want to find another trusted adult that you know will give you God's word, and they'll help you to understand what something means. Sometimes when you're a child, another adult that's not in your family can actually seem like help you in your understanding. God gives us friends sometimes that can help us alongside our parents. I've been thankful for that in our family. The Lord's given people that my children could talk to and trust that maybe they couldn't, me or their daddy, but they could go to another adult and say, hey, talk to me about this. That's part of seeking, is when we can, this says they should seek the law at the mouth of the priest. Now, just to balance that out, we don't always just go to a person and say, what am I supposed to do about this? That's not how God really set it up. God really wants to put his spirit in each of us individually so that he can teach us. One place it says, you need not that any man teach you. This is 1 John 2 and 27. But the Spirit which is given to you, he will teach you all things. And Jesus himself said, he said, the Spirit that I will send you, he shall guide you into all truth, and he shall bring all things to your remembrance. So we have access to the Holy Spirit for ourselves. What if you were out in the Sahara Desert? I'm just somewhere, you know, remote. And you didn't have your parents, and you didn't have a pastor, and you didn't have somebody that could teach you, and you had a question. Do you think God could answer your question? Yeah, he could. He would direct you and speak to you. So we have access to very great, good resources. There's even more. We have people who have studied the Bible and wrote dictionaries. They've done the legwork for you. You can just go and look up that Bible word, and the meaning is right there. You can find the meaning of it. As soon as you learn to read and you don't understand something in the Bible, you can go to a dictionary and look it up and say, what does this mean? That's what Ezra did. I don't think he had the internet. He didn't have a written dictionary, but I'm sure he went to those parchments. Ezra was a scribe. He was someone who loved God's law. And as I brought out last time, if you'll look, my Bible tells me in the back here, when it tells the authors of books, it says that he wrote the 119th chapter of Psalms. Now, I always thought David wrote that, and it's possible that David did write that. But some scholars believe that Ezra wrote that book. And what is it full of? Love for God's law. But this verse we read this morning about Ezra, he prepared his heart to seek the law of God. He put away his idols. He made his heart tender and receptive to the Lord. And he sought the Lord with all of his heart. And he went, I'm sure that Ezra, as a young man, he probably found out who really loved God as an adult in his day, and went to him and pestered him with questions. What does this mean? Tell me about this. I want to know about this. Why do we do this? That's what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to go ask the priest. Wouldn't you like to have Samuel to go to? Like, Samuel was over there in the tabernacle where they had sat up. And you could just go to him and say, sir, what does it mean to... And Samuel would tell you. Wouldn't that be neat? Samuel or even Ezra, it would be wonderful to go to someone like that and say, I'd like for you to explain something to me. You ask the Lord sometime, Lord, help me know who to ask. Who could I ask? And the Lord, he may just be even talking to that person that you go ask and have revealed some things and had them experience some things that they can share with you that will help you. That's amazing what the Lord can do, but he can answer your questions. It's not wrong to have questions. You may even have questions, is God really the true God? You ask God, say, God, reveal yourself to me. Are you really the real God? Are you real? The Lord will do that. You can seek him. It says he won't chide you. He won't upbraid you for your questions. But he will give you what you need liberally. He's ready to give. He will abundantly pardon. He will rain righteousness upon us. I'm so thankful for these scriptures, and I'll just finish with this one, and it just reminds me of my dad. He wrote a song, actually, about this, Psalms 27. David was a man who loved to worship God. His whole desire was to be able to build a temple. He didn't get to do that. He wanted to do that. I am sure that he spent time crying about his... God just said, David, you've fought in too many wars. You're a man of war. You're not the one. It's your son that's going to build a temple for me. But, you know, David loved God, and he loved God's house. This is Psalm 27, and this is verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, David understood something, I think, here. I think he understood, I can't go live at the temple. We don't even have a temple. I can't go live at that tabernacle. But where can you live? You and I, you know, we can't really come and live here. We can't go live at our camp meeting or whatever. Where can you find the house of the Lord? Right where you are. It's his presence. His presence can be wherever you are. You can enter into his presence. How do you enter into his presence? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Now, if you're grumpy and grouchy and you're complaining, is it going to be easy to be in the Lord's presence? No. But when you begin to say, thank you, Lord, you go climb a tree, you look up, Lord, thank you. Praise you, Lord. Whisper it. Maybe you're embarrassed to even make your voice be heard. But just say, thank you, Lord. Did you know that you're entering into God's presence when you do that? He draws real near to you when you begin to say, thank you, Lord. He'll just draw right near to your heart, and you'll feel his presence. You'll find him. So I hope these little tips this morning, the precious promises, have been a blessing to you. They've been to me. I can tell you that these things are true because I've experienced them in my life since I was a little girl. I've learned the wondrous secret of abiding in the Lord. I'm thankful that we can seek after his law. Homework. Read Psalm 119 this week, because we may have a little bit more, if the Lord permits, next time. I'm still not through with this little verse, that Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it. Those three things, seek, do, and teach. Amen.